Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Skeleton Arm. You gotta go check it out. And she's been going all over the place in the United States. Last I heard, she was in Chicago yesterday. So, and this is, of course, Andrew Fetter. Welcome to When Pigs Fly. But do check her out. I'm sure if you go in there, any of the past, I've had many songs of hers. I had an interview with her back in November of last year. I believe it was November 13th, if you want to listen to that. Do check out her website. You can listen to in full all her songs and even download them individually or just get the whole album. It's pretty reasonable, too, for its price. And she's doing a tour, like I said. I know she's in Michigan tomorrow at Sagatuck, Michigan, at the Blue Star Harvest Festival, and that's on tomorrow. And her brief schedule, which I have, I'll just give you a short run-up of a little bit, is on October 2nd at Burlington, Vermont. She's at the Skinny Pancake. On October 4th, she's at Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and that's at the Red Door. And then in New York, on October 5th, she's going to be at the Rockwood Music Hall. And then she swings by New Jersey at Ashbury Park at the Saint on October 6th. And then October 9th, she has just made a change. She will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the Fire. Do check out her. You can go to AngieMatson.com for her full tour schedule, as well as checking out both her albums, and, of course, her recent album of Skeleton Arm. Anyway, I also want to inform anybody who is in Los Angeles, there is a really, really cool show happening here. It's at the Spaceland, and, of course, Ruby Friedman Orchestra is going to be there. Of course, a couple of other groups. You can check out spaceland.com and check them out. This is happening tomorrow on the 25th, and their address is 1770 Silver Lake Boulevard in L.A. This is going to be a really cool show, and you've heard her music. I've played several times as well. And for those who want to have that feeling of going out of body, you probably heard many of my discussions or even seen posts of mine and stuff about going out of body. Well, my recently new release book, but my new book, Spirit, entails that, and I'm having several lined up book signing events coming through October, both in the San Diego area as well as Las Vegas and Henderson. On Saturday, October 16th, from 1 p.m. 4 to 4, I will be at Barnes Noble's bookstore. That's at 2615 Vista Way in Oceanside. Love that town. Great town to hang out. And then on October 23rd, Saturday, I'm heading to Las Vegas, and I'll be in their Summerlin store at Summerlin store of Psychic Eye Bookstore at 6848 West Charleston, and that's the cross streets of Rainbow and Charleston. And then the following week, I head across town of Vegas to the town of Henderson, and I will be at the Barnes Noble there on October 30th at 2 p.m., and that's, of course, 5567 North Stephanie Henderson. So do tell, come down, and I love meeting new people and old people and any kind of people, actually. It doesn't matter. it's great. I love traveling and meeting all the people and hear their discussions and what they think and their experiences as they relate to them. But do don't come down. Like I said, also do check out Angie Mattson's material. And if you got any questions or anything else, do give me a holler at flyingpigs@artlawdotwork.com. That's my email address. Now, I have a very special guest. I have her on almost every 3 months, in correlation to our calendar. Seems like the solstice or some ox or something like that. But she has been several times on my show. One of her most famous shows I had an interview with her was prior to right before the elections, where she gave her very distinguished forecast and analysis of the candidates of the presidential elections. In fact, she even said how Edwards was having an affair, and that was amazing because nobody knew it, but I guess she knew it. and I really welcome, once again, Carrie Fezza for coming on my show to give her extreme analysis for the next 3 months. How are you doing, Carrie?
Good, and thank you for having me. This is always fun to do, take a look at things that are potentially can happen based on the planets every 3 months.
So what do you got in store for us now? Because it was last year, I guess, of, tribulation.
Yeah, for some reason I keep losing you. You just faded out on me.
And then a political stifling. Oh, you can hear me. It must be the distance here. You know, that string between my phone and your phone. we're using cans here, by the way, folks. with a little string attached. You remember that as a kid. Anyway,
I guess you used Progresso, right? Cause...
Yeah. That's big. Yeah, it's true. Instead of those Campbell's ones. That's what I used to use when I was a kid. anyway, what do you see, briefly on your analysis of what you did your forecast?
The autumnal equinox started on Wednesday, and it by just a very few hours, it preceded the full moon. So, again, it adds a little punch or a little impact to the forecast. I was really going on about the summer solstice because so many things were impacting that chart, like the eclipses, and I think we should be lucky that we made it through the summer basically unscathed. Whenever you do solstices and equinoxes, you're always dealing with the zero Aries point, which is the most critical degree in the zodiac. Even if you know nothing about astrology, know that the zero Aries point is crucial. And any planets, points, eclipses that fall within 5 degrees of zero Aries not only become major players, but are going to have a huge impact. And on every solstice and equinox, like with the autumnal equinox, the sun is at zero Libra, begins it. So it's exactly opposite the zero Aries point, with the full moon being on zero Aries. So the full moon becomes just bringing events to a conclusion or a fruition.
And but you're saying that this, but just real quickly, you're saying that at this point, we're right now in the zero point of Aries, though that it's normally of excuse me, Libra?
No, I'm not. Sorry. Zero Aries point is relevant to all the solstices and equinoxes. The autumnal equinox begins at zero Libra, which is opposite the zero Aries point. So that's always relevant to that point. However, the full moon falls on the zero Aries point, creating an opposition between the sun and the moon, which is what a full moon is, and that brings events to a conclusion or fruition. So for the next 3 months, we'll be looking for events that have been lingering on or begin now to come to a conclusion or to bear fruit. And that can be anything that we've talked about in past shows.
So real quickly, things that either come to a head, basically really straight head, it's finished, it's over, it's moving off forward, or things that you've been working on come into, the harvest, the fruit, as you say, the fruit, kind of getting tongue-tied here. coming fruited or whatever, but it's ready to harvest the fruit.
Right. We planted it in the spring because that's relevant to the zero, as Aries point. That's the spring equinox actually always falls exactly on the zero Aries point. The summer solstice begins at zero Cancer, which when you move up to the autumnal equinox, zero Cancer winds up on the midheaven, which is the most public place of the chart. And Cancer is a really relevant sign because it's the sign of the USA. Because our birthday is in July 4th, we fall under the sign of Cancer. So it pushes us into a global position where we are on the kind of the world stage for the next 3 months. And if you think about it, most of our elections are done in this time period. And what happens with USA elections is they become very relevant worldwide.
So it's basically you're saying, you know, the U.S. is pretty much center stage in a lot of aspects, basically most of the aspects around the world. In fact, the sort of thing is most people know about our politics and Americans know of our own politics. But this falling where it is basically another people are really focusing on not just elections, but issues that were happening here affecting worldwide, basically, more so than ever.
Yeah, we're really put in the spotlight at this time. Every autumn it is that way because Cancer winds up on top of the chart.
Oh, interesting.
And so we're always in the spotlight. But what's contrasting with this autumnal equinox is most of the planets in the chart, with the exception of Mercury, fall below the horizon. And what that means in layman's terms is the focus, as much as we're on the world stage, that we're more of in a private time right now where we're focusing on our own needs and not so much worried about what's going on globally. We have the power now within the next 3 months to put our future in our hands.
For the United States concerns, people here are going to in America are going to be focusing more on domestic issues as opposed to foreign issues.
That's my prediction. I always say in most of my reports that charity begins at home, and that's with Libra being the key sign here. The sun is zero Libra, ruling the ascendant. For any astrologers out there, I just do a solar chart, so it's relevant to any place and time. Libra is the sign of compromise. Push, pull. Its ultimate objective is to achieve balance. The symbol for Libra is the scale. So it can literally relate to legal issues and justice, but on a psychological level, it's about achieving and a striving balance. Harmony is another key word for Libra. So what we'll be focusing on this time is inner harmony, trying to find balance within our country. It's been a very tumultuous time period this year, last couple years. And I think this is going to be a three-month period where things are kind of quiet for a while. Not super quiet. There's going to be issues, which I'll talk about in a minute. But it's more of a time that wasn't as, say, tumultuous as the summer solstice period. There was a lot of planetary activity going on, which was really rocking the boat for a lot of individuals, if not for the country so much. But the next 3 months should be a little more easier to deal with, shall we say.
At least until through the winter, up to the starting of the winter, you're saying.
Yeah, up until the winter equinox. So enjoy this period while you can. What's one of the most interesting things about this chart is Saturn shows up really prominently in the chart, and Saturn is our authority figure. Saturn establishes boundaries. It's what you don't like when you're a kid. You know, the structure, but as you get older, you come to appreciate it, and Saturn gives you the opportunity to provide for discipline, and it falls in the same house as the sun, which is the first house that has to do with self, so we're focusing on self-discipline, self-growth, self-improvement, and of course, Saturn, it rules limitations, it restricts, so we're also dealing with self-sacrifice, but it does give us the opportunity to harness what we want to do and work really hard and set things in motion where we can accomplish what we set out to do. It has shifted from a not-so-important aspect in the chart into a very prominent aspect in the chart. So Saturn represents, you know, being authority, old guard, conservatism.
So that's almost like if it were saying it's of old guard, like the those people who are the real, let's say if I'm putting it into like that aspect, let's say the Illuminati aspect, of still maintaining control. And like I think because in their last one you said we had a glimpse of what happened in that what might will be happening next year, and I think we had a sort of a glimpse of it, but then the old guard stepped in and tried pushing things back down again, because I think people start waking up, and then all of a sudden here we are back again, and they're getting things are going back like old even. But interesting though that you said about Saturn though that we're self-improvement, self-sacrifice. It seems like we've had all our material stuff taken away to learn to focus upon ourselves.
Yeah, Saturn definitely puts things in perspective. It's a reality check. And you're going to see, for every two steps forward you take, there's usually one step back. So Saturn coming into the fore in the next 3 months is the old guard coming back again, like you said, and being really strong. Now, it's interesting you mentioned the Illuminati and some of the things that are a little out there to some people. Well, this is what your whole show is about, right? But the planet that represents New Age thinking, if anything from astrology to computers to metaphysics to extraterrestrials is the planet Uranus. It rules the unconventional, and it brings events to you in kind of shocking and unexpected ways. So I think that's a really good symbolism for the Illuminati and anything in that genre. Uranus was in a very prominent position in the last chart, bringing that to the fore, but now it's receded to the back for the next couple months, next 6 months approximately. And so the old guard has more power at this time. Magnifying that is the planet Jupiter at exactly the same degree as Uranus. Jupiter, although it's associated with luck and abundance, it can also be excess, and it magnifies anything it touches. So you're still going to see a large impact from things that I just mentioned previously related to Uranus, the unconventional, the unexpected, the unusual. That's all being magnified right now. It's just in, say, a weaker position. But what gives it some power and some presence, it just so happens that at the time of the autumnal equinox, the moon winds up, bam, right there, with Uranus and Jupiter. And the moon is the ruler of Cancer, which is the ruler of the USA. So again, all these new age efforts directed at us and ourselves and broadening our own awareness.
So it's like you said, we're having a mirror in front of us. We're now being pushed in a situation to look in the mirror to, like you said, self-improvement, self-growth, and you do that by having some sort of limitations or facing the opposite. I mean, even the Illuminati being what they are, they're still all a part of us. So it's facing our demons, so to speak, basically.
In a sense, this energy's been present for a while, the old guard versus the new guard.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what the new guard also is in the sign of spiritual awareness. And Uranus, it's actually in the sign of Pisces, which to me is a symbolism for spiritual enlightenment. And again, Jupiter magnifies all that. The moon brings it home to us. It's just for this next three-month period, it might be a little more suppressed or repressed by what we keep referring to as the old guard, because Saturn's in a very prominent position. I also take the planets from the USA chart from 1776 and superimpose them around the chart to see where they fall.
Uh-huh.
And we're heading into what's called a Saturn return, which happens every 28 years, 29 years. If you think what you did when you were 29 years old, it usually has to do with taking on some sort of responsibility. Again, a reality check. And we're approaching that in the next year. So the USA
and this happens Saturn, every 29 years, you're saying? So like, so let's say if we went back 29 years ago, that was what,
1980, 81, because it's relative, you know, 29 years, give or take, you know. So 30 years ago, where were we coming in with the old guard? Jimmy Carter had just been overthrown by Ronald Reagan, and that was a very, very to me, you know, he was represented the Republican Party, and there was a lot of he was a very good representation, I think, of the old guard, or at least the traditional and the conservative. Would you not agree?
Well, it was just it's interesting because it's like a change, because it was a big change then, because it went from, you know, hippie became yuppie, though, really point blank, like in the 80-81, it was things like switched. I mean, culturally in the United States, it switched from being extremely more liberal consciousness to, you know, to, hey, you know, it came a little bit narcissistic. People were out there self to cheat. You want it all, like, you know, came more selfish and oriented. I hate to say it, but it was. And it got into more materialistic as opposed to before more non-materialistical things. So, like, that point really changed in the United States, which is interesting because it's like that was a major change in the United States. And if you go, 29 years before that, well, that that would have been in
roughly 1950, 51, 52.
Which is there was another change then, too. That was when
a huge cultural. You know what's interesting about the 50s, the cultural change? It went into rock and roll and kind of hedonism.
Yeah.
And got away from America and apple pie. So
right.
In that 30-year period, you saw the more liberal side take over. And
right.
I think that's what's going to happen next year in 2011. When Uranus moves into Aries, remember the zero Aries point? We're back with Uranus into Aries, which is a very pioneering sign. And Uranus has about an 81-year cycle, I believe. So you'd have to go back in 2011, back about 80 and 90 years prior to that and see what was going on then. So you do the math. Is that about 1930?
Yeah, well, no, but it's interesting because look at it. When Reagan came in power, that was the kind of shift that, you're right, it came into a more conservatism. I mean, a conservative even crossed over through, I mean, even Clinton's there or whatever, that the time period, even for him being a Democrat president, he was actually more middle, could be considered more less liberal, more on the middle side. So, I mean, even in the spectrum of the United States, because we're basically your astrological chart, it's based on the United States, it was everything was conservative, was paramount, and it started ascending just recently. And now you're saying now this is a new switch, which you can see it, I think, even there's a general change from that conservative to a more liberal looking at things like before, like you're saying in the 50s, because that was a big change too.
But the next 3 months are going to be glimpses of the conservative side, where the conservatives have more power, where that sort of strong, repressed side overshadows the new and different and forward thinking. But what we saw a glimpse of last month was, I think, what the next is going to be a good representation of what's to come in the future. What we're doing now for the next 3 months is just kind of sliding back into that, you know, the finishing touches, the finale, the encore performance perhaps by the conservative side. And as we move into this next decade, which is just beginning this year, this is the year of transition, but as we move into the new decade with Uranus and Jupiter in the sign of Aries, totally, you know, forward-thinking, pioneering, you're going to see a totally different society. So
wow.
Brace yourself for change. But we'll have a lot to talk about on the winter equinox because there's going to be eclipses lighting up that chart, just like the summer solstice. And what's also going to be interesting about the winter equinox is when Uranus and Jupiter return to those points in Aries that they were in the summer, they're going to be reigniting the old eclipse point, as well as the new eclipse points. And eclipses are significant in that they facilitate a lot of change. It's like plugging it in. It jacks it up. It gives it extra bolts of energy. So I always like to pay attention to eclipses too. But right now we're in a period of respite, I would say. A little bit more rest, a little bit more self-focus, a little self-discipline, you know, harnessing what we have. And because now we're back. We talked a lot about Pluto because Pluto has been moving around very close to the zero Capricorn, which is, again, relevant to the zero Aries point. And what Pluto does is really stir things up. It rules revolution and transformation. And it's not only, it's in a position where it's threatening Saturn and it's threatening Uranus and Jupiter. And this was also relevant in the summer solstice chart. So at a deep-seated level in this chart, there might be some sort of an internal uprising that's challenging the old guard and challenging the new guard and looking for something completely different. The worst, most extreme case, I would say, could be civil war. But I don't think that would happen because the North Node is there, which tends toward fate and destiny and makes it actually more positive. If the South Node was there, I'd say watch out.
And this is coming in toward next year in April, though, you're talking about, right?
No, this is now. We're back to
Equinox
chart. But this is relevant. Pluto has always been in this position. We've talked about this last winter, in the fall, and in the summer.
Oh, okay, wait. I got your page. So it's basically like things are being held down, but there's this underlying pressure trying to push that way you're talking about, to like burst the bubble, but it's being held down basically. But you don't see it really.
I don't know that it's being held down. It's right now. It's not in a prominent part of the. It's in a strong position in the chart, but it's at a very private part of the chart that has to do with internal, like us as a country. In the winter chart, Pluto was on the top, so anything that we were doing that was revolutionary or had to do with major transformation was very public. In the spring chart, let's see, it became sort of a more of a personal issue. And then in the summer chart, it became more confrontational, sort of an uprising. But Pluto has, for the last 2 years, been relevant to the zero Aries point. And being that it's been in the sign of Capricorn, which to me, again, Capricorn's ruled by Saturn, so Capricorn represents old guard, old money. When Pluto went into Capricorn, and we did an entire show on this, you saw the downfall of corporate America. And corporate America continues to change and transform. And we'll keep talking about this for a long time to come as Pluto progresses through Capricorn. But it's such a slow, transit in relation to the Earth because it's so far away that it remains close to the zero Aries point. So Pluto becomes a major player. It rules nuclear war, nuclear energy in terms of complete annihilation and rebuilding out of the ashes. The symbolism for it is like a pea, and you can also think of it as like a phoenix rising out of the ashes. It becomes significant in this chart because the North Node, which rules fate and destiny, is going to come together with Pluto. And whatever change, revolution, is going to be predestined, predetermined. In the end of October into November, the North Node is going to cross over the eclipse point again. Whenever eclipse points, remember eclipses are change. Whenever a point passes over the eclipse point, it reactivates the issues of that time. So we're going to see some of the things from the summer stirred up again. But they can, again, be put to, they can be finished up, but it's going to be through complete and total change and transformation.
So a lot of things are going to be more emphasized again at that time for change, basically. A reflection of what you mentioned about Capricorn and all that was in the North Node with Saturn and all that. What about, is there going to be like, what happens to like, you know, I think you mentioned before something with all real estate and the real estate and it's regarding family values or something like that, that it's going to affect our real estate and issues like that and our family values.
Why you're seeing the real estate market not turn around, like we're all waiting with a bated breath for the real estate market to turn around, the South Node always falls opposite the North Node. And because the North Node is in Capricorn, the South Node winds up in Cancer. Again, don't forget that Cancer is the sign of our country. It also rules the military and homes and family. The South Node is karma. It's past dues, what we brought in from a past life, and it can also be self-undoing. And not only does it fall in the sign of home and real estate, it falls into what we call a stellium of three planets in the USA chart. So again, it's very relevant to our country and what we're doing, and it becomes it shows up in a more prominent part of the chart. So real estate in the continual downturn of the market is going to be a key issue for the next 3 months. But as we move into the new year, we can start to see that improve. I'm going to focus on that more in our next discussion. It also can be a downturn in family values, self-node, self-undoing.
Hmm. What do you mean downturn of family values?
Just the whole family structure, family values, what people hold dear to them, what, you know, there's a lot of children out there being raised by grandparents, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but just what some people value as a nuclear family versus, you know, again, both these points, the nodes, are directly in aspect to the new change planets, and they're also in challenging aspect to Saturn. So, and they're directly opposite the change. So you might see a change in the nuclear family, which we've been seeing actually for the past 30 or 40 years anyway. But, you know, we've gotten away from strict discipline to like, oh, we don't want to hurt our children, but then we've created a whole nation of kids that don't have discipline. And therefore, we have a higher crime rate. We have, you know, guns in schools and medical detectors and stuff like that. So I think you'll see more of these issues becoming prominent within the next 3 months.
Wow. So, okay, so looking on the horizon, basically, people have to sort of bite the bullet as far as what the real estate market is, basically. And then as far as family values, it's basically, it's going to be almost, it seems like a test of time to, you know, maintain your family, you know, links, you know, whether you're brother, sister, mom, dad, whatever, to, you know, to, I always look at things when something is going the opposite, it's more of a test for yourself to see in your relationship. It's like people got freaked out, like retrograde, oh my God, communication. It's just like an extra weight set, so do you have to work a little harder to focus on, let's say, your family issues. It's an opportunity to do that, let me put it that way.
What I'd also say with the South Node that represents karmic dues, self-undoing, being in a really prominent part in the autumnal equinox chart is our military might come under incredible scrutiny at this time, too. I didn't put that in my written report.
Well, it's funny you said that. It is. It's been. It's been because of the Afghanistan thing, stuff has been going on. There's been a changing of the guards of, you know, the military questioning, you know, between Obama having and the military having, you know, questioning how to lead, what to do in Afghanistan, for example. I mean, there's big discussions, and then his book, book came out. I forgot his name. Not Bernstein, the other guy. Woodward came out a book dealing with Obama's war, and there's now that's coming out really big time of all the infighting even in their own administration, and then the struggle between him and the military. So there's a lot of stuff coming out now of that, which is interesting.
Cancer represents our country, and the South Node there, you know, it represents our government, essentially. And the government's just going through a really difficult time right now. It's karmic payback.
Well,
and
then
what
look
we're doing is not in the country's best interest.
Yeah, and look all that anger right now. People, you know, they say what they want. I don't, you know, agree with it, maybe the Tea Party and all that stuff, but people don't realize there's a lot of anger, and it's not Democrat or Republican. It's just generally people, I think, are getting more wise that they look like they're both bad, and they're looking for something new. I wish Jesse Ventura was running. Anyway.
No, it's interesting you said that about the anger that's coming from a deep-seated level, and it's not conservative and it's not liberal. It's just an uprising. That's the perfect symbolism for Pluto being down at the very bottom of the chart, an internal uprising, an internal revolution that is directly opposed to our government and also in conflict with you know, the New Age thinkers and the traditional thinkers. So you just summed up my Pluto in a nutshell.
Yeah, because well, it seems because what happens usually when people, let's say if you find out you've been had, you know, the first thing the person gets upset when they feel they've been had, you know, they've been tricked or something like that, which the nation has been basically lied to. You know, they were upset when they found out about Vietnam being, we were sucked into that war, you know, with Tolkien, that we actually killed our own, blew up our own ship to get into a war. And they don't find that till later. And then different events that happen. I mean, 9/11, people now are even starting to question that in itself. You know, I mean, average people that I meet every day are now, wait a second, they're becoming, doesn't make any, almost like it was a controlled, you know, bombing. I mean, maybe that happened with, it did happen with the terrorist happening, but then what facilitated beyond that, you know, like, so people are going, wait, there looks like it went hand in hand of some other events are happening. With Pentagon, for example, people are now coming out, I've been reading, like, wait a second, Pentagon was never, it could, I mean, the Soviet Union could never get to the Pentagon. That's like our military camp. Now, how the hell can a little airplane fly right into it without being shot down immediately, no matter what? I mean, it's, you know, you have your the Joint Chiefs of Staff there. That's like, you know, that's your military base.
Well,
so,
yeah, the military's not doing
so, you know, something didn't make any sense. So people, I think, are becoming more aware, and people are seeing, after all, like, for example, Obama with all his promises, from the people from, let's say, on the healthcare side, saying a public option, which he promised. Now, that was really, I think, the straw that broke the camel's back. So then they're seeing that, and then I know in the Nevada side with, let's say, Harry Reid, I mean, a donkey could get up there and beat him now, and look what they did. They set, almost like they set up a patsy to lose. And then it's almost like what they had when, I remember, people were mad at Ensign when he was running, and then they brought up a patsy was Carter's son to run. And I remember Oscar Goodman wanted to run, and Reed didn't want that. And it seems like things are set up, and people are slowly becoming aware that our government, even inside, has always been manipulated. It's now like a mirror thrown in our face that here it is. And they're laughing. It's almost like they're laughing at us. Like, what are you going to do about it now?
Well, wait until November. At the end of October into November, end of the month of November, you're going to see things really stirred up internally. That it all comes internally from within our country and within ourselves. And it's predestined, it is fated. So that's a key time period to look at. And there's been stuff that's had rumblings from the summer. And it's interesting you mentioned healthcare, because remember I mentioned to you the three planets, Uranus, Jupiter, and even the moon falls right in with them, which is really uncanny because the moon moves so fast around the chart.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it wound up right there with Jupiter and Uranus,
mm-hmm,
in the sign of Pisces, which rules chemistry,
mm-hmm,
amongst other things. Those three planets in Pisces fall in the sixth house of work and health. So although the old guard is in a stronger position, I think you're going to see more health breakthroughs in the next month, or maybe new and different treatments, medicines, or vaccines. I'm a very leery on vaccines. I have, I'm not sure that they're always set up for our best interest, and I don't like it when they're targeted at minorities. There's a commercial that plays now that really bothers me with a very Spanish-looking female holding her baby, telling her you need to be vaccinated for pertussis, which is whooping cough. And I do understand that a lot of these diseases that we eradicated through vaccines are now coming back, so they are becoming an issue again. But it's something about that commercial really bothers me.
Well, a lot of that was they were eradicated because we didn't have that much population movement, and usually – you know, we had, when the turn of the century, when had a lot of, you know, more people started moving here in the turn, then they had a upswing of diseases and stuff, which has always been the propaganda, you know, anti-immigrant stuff, which is, you know, anytime you have migration, hell, when the first white people moved into the Americas, they brought in smallpox and then they got the syphilis from the Native Americans, and they brought the syphilis back to the Europeans. So, I mean, anytime there's a population move, there's always a something happen. But it's funny that you said about the vaccine, because I mean they're coming out with some really sickening things, like talking about curing depression with people by, I saw this and they're trying to push it out there, a thing they inject, it's like a virus that goes into the brain. I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah, and you can imagine them convincing people doing that. And it's basically making people, giving a lobotomy. And then there's the issue that's been coming out. This is about the health. It's interesting that you bring this up, because there's things coming out about our foods. People who have always been, I'm not drinking any more milk, because we know they've been putting stuff with Monsanto, been putting stuff in our milk, and that's even really bad. And then there's, of course, corn that's genetically engineered, which has been modified, and it's not been the most healthiest thing. It's actually detriment to your life. But how many products are made of corn? And then you hear people who are vegans or people who are more health conscious, well, I'm just going to drink soy because soy is so good. Well, now it turns out that now Monsanto has been using genetically engineered soy, which has already been mixed into other soy beans. And so now, and America produces like almost most of the soybean market in the world. And who knows how much is around the world at Monsanto, because there's no,
Who's Monsanto?
Monsanto is the company.
It's
like Dow, Monsanto. Anyway, they've been producing all this. So now that's been altered. So the people who are thinking, oh, I'm a vegan, I'm only eating soy products, they themselves are now subjugated to the same stuff. So no matter where you turn, you're thinking you're so healthy. It's like somebody eating whole foods type of foods and thinking they're eating organically grown vegetables and fruit, when that's the only thing organic about it is that you're paying more, and it turns out that's not even done organically, they're finding out.
There's been a lot of backlash against soy. It's related to hormone fluctuations, and there's a lot of negative connotations just with regular soy, and I don't necessarily agree with you that the vegan diet is so healthy. Some people, especially with Mars prominent in their chart, do need to eat meat, particularly red meat. I don't know if the people agree with that or disagree with that, but we were made as carnivores. So different body types require different things. I don't think.
Well, I was just talking.
Vegans aren't too healthy that I know.
I was talking in generality, because I know a lot of friends of mine who, I know people who become more health conscious. I mean, I eat only fish and sometimes chicken. I've actually got away from beef. Actually, it's been better for me. But I do have to eat fish. I mean, I have to eat. That's the carnivore.
You're an Aries. You're ruled by Mars, so you should have some sort of meat in your diet.
Yeah, I get really, really nauseous if I eat meat. Maybe it's the Pisces that I have and all that stuff compensates. But anyway, it's just really, but I know, but going back on the soybean thing and stuff, I'm just saying in general our health stuff has been really, be questionable. And it's funny that you're saying this, because I think things are coming out more and more. I've seen so much stuff coming out more and more about health stuff than ever before. I mean,
well, there's a reason for that, because Pisces on one end is ruled by Neptune. So Neptune equals Pisces. Jupiter is also a traditional ruler of the sign. And Pisces, amongst many things, is lacks the boundaries that Saturn is providing us with now. It rules the height of artistry, creativity, and spirituality. But on the flip side, Pisces is deception. So these three planets fall in a very deceptive sign. Three planets that can contribute to making new breakthroughs in healthcare, but there's a deceptive element to it. And the ruler, Neptune, falls in the fifth house of children or our youth, exactly on the asteroid Chiron. Chiron is the wounded healer. It has a lot to do with medicines. So again, you see this tie-in with medicines, medications, and vaccines next to a deceptive element, but it falls in the sign of children. So I say they might try and... anybody that doesn't have our best interest in mind might go through our children. Again, we're back to that vaccine that you're supposed to,
Wait, you know what? I just realized, I forgot to see you mentioned, and this is interesting about marijuana, though, is being coming up to a vote. I forgot that's it's coming up a vote in California, trying to officially legalize it.
Well, Pisces rules denial and escapism, and over-medicating, street drugs have a lot to do with mind-altering consciousness, and that's marijuana. It may have medicinal properties, but we could also see some fallout from its usage. I live in Las Vegas. There's billboards up everywhere saying, get legal today. Just call this doctor, and you can write your own your prescription for marijuana. So I think, you know, the Saturn there might be good to give us some boundaries with that. I mean, what people choose to do in their own time is their own business, but I think you might see some fallout from, and again, it's a very new concept in healthcare, and I believe it's very helpful to cancer patients, but if it's abused rather than used, especially as directed at our youth, we're going to see the repercussions of that down the road.
Hmm. Well, I think they're trying to go toward the Dutch model, which they have actually a decline in drug use since their legality. But, you know, every culture is sort of different, you know, but they say, like, the same thing when alcohol was, illegal, and then it made it legal. It didn't change the wall. It just moved the walls over. I mean, those who are alcoholics are still alcoholics. There's always going to be...
Addicts will always be addicts, but
yeah.
We've got to be careful for not introducing that to people, particularly children and youth.
Yeah.
Through medicines, like back in, you know, giving kids Ritalin for hyper, you know, there's pros and cons to it all, but you got to be careful how much you medicate your children, because you might be setting them up for addiction they might not normally be susceptible to.
Yeah, but I think if they do, it's not really care that they really care about the people so much personally. I think if the government and them try to, you know, open the door to that, it's all about the money. And I think they're just going to, you know, so now they become the new cartel.
Well, believe that, remember I said Jupiter expands anything it touches? Well, you're putting Jupiter in the sign of medicine next to new breakthroughs, so it could be a lot of big business, but it's directly opposed to the Saturn and in conflict to the Pluto,
mm-hmm.
which means the more a big pharmaceutical corporations try and push these breakthroughs on us, you're going to see a lot of backlash for that, because they have these phenomenal drugs they advertise on TV, and then they list all the side effects. Oh, lymphoma, death. I don't care how bad my arthritis is. I'm not taking something as a side effect of lymphoma or death. You know what I mean? I mean, I think you're going to see big pharmacy fall under a lot of scrutiny, too, as they try and do more and more things with new drugs.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know most of the people, especially in the United States, with the rapid high rising of the unemployment hasn't changed. In fact, they expect to go up. They're speculating 25% chance of another recession sometime within the next, in the early winter. I mean, after winter, like January, a possible another recession surge. But
have to create jobs.
Do you see we're going to be going, so you're seeing unemployment decreasing, that people are going to have, there's opportunity for more work, that the economy... The economy's going to get better?
No, I wouldn't say it's going to get better. Again, I think you're going to see more downfall of corporate America. And again, we just talked about big pharmaceutical companies. They're prey to being scrutinized. The focus on the next 3 months is going to be on harnessing our own resources. Like, why are we going overseas for oil when we have oil right here? Stuff like that, just as one issue. But we also need to be innovative and forward-thinking and create new jobs for ourselves. Like, the Hoover Dam was created in the 30s to stimulate the economy, and it's been a huge asset, you know, to the southwest portion of the country in terms of water and electricity. It not only generated a bunch of jobs at the time, but there was a whole city born out of it. Now you have Boulder City, Nevada. So we have to be creative in looking at the focus is on us the next 3 months, so we're going to see what we can do for ourselves. We're still going to be dependent on outsourcing and foreign resources, but I think there's going to be a strong focus on getting away from that and what we can do.
Yeah, what you're talking about is if really they were serious, the government was really serious about doing something, it would have been so easy to initiate a real stimulus, like, especially in Nevada and the Midwest, for example, start just lining up windmills all over the place, pouring in solar panels all over the place. That would definitely generate jobs. All the construction, the material, everything done left and right. At the same token, that's immediately turnover because the windmill starts producing electricity. It's hooked up to a grid. The solar panel's getting light from the sun. It doesn't have to drill for oil or gas. So it's already been, providing, again, energy right then and there. At the same token, it's like what you had just said about Hoover Dam, what it did. It actually put Vegas on the map, speaking of. And then, which is sort of surprising that it has not happened of all places. I mean, I lived in Nevada for 10 years, and I'm surprised that has not happened in Nevada. Like overnight would take care of the unemployment situation in Nevada, Utah, Arizona, that whole area. I mean, but it seems like that's never been the interest, and maybe hopefully that will be the interest. You know,
next 3 months it won't, because you have Saturn. You're going to have Saturn and Uranus opposing each other. And if there's one thing you got to remember about Saturn, Saturn represents tradition.
Mm-hmm.
The old guard, old money, what's rock solid, what's dependable. Uranus is unpredictable, it's shaky, it rules earthquakes, it rules the unconventional, it rules the new thinking, but it's highly intelligent, it rules outer space, extraterrestrials. It's everything that is new and different, and which would be, a perfect example of that would be your windmill and your powers and everything you just mentioned there. But for the next 3 months, you're not going to see a lot of that happening with Saturn in the more prominent position. Next year, about 6 months from now, when we approach the spring equinox, the vernal equinox,
mm-hmm.
and Uranus moves back into Aries, it's going to be in a much more prominent position to do battle with Saturn. Saturn's still going to be in a prominent position in Libra, but Uranus is going to be in a better position to oppose it. And you're going to have the same energy you've had for the last 2.5 years that was relevant to the 60s, where you had the generation gap and the whole, modern movement, liberal movement, that's been going on, but it's going to become really strong. Old guard versus new guard. We got a glimpse of it this summer. You're going to see more of it in the winter solstice, and then you're going to see it get really strong in the spring. Ideas are being created now. We're planting the seeds.
So it seems like in this portion where we're in is like almost purgatory, to put it that way. We're like in between. It seems like we had a glimpse of stuff. The old guard is coming in of some things, and then for the next 3 months, we're going to be sort of purgatory, where everything is pretty much nothing really of change except for the of push down, and it's forcing us to really get to our issues of ourselves and relying again. Because you have mentioned this several times before that, for the last year, that we have to opportunity to learn to rely on ourselves. Unfortunately, we haven't been doing that. And then, ironically, look what happened in the Gulf and every other areas. But we continually not rely on ourselves. We continually rely on other outside sources. Look at BP, that was British Petroleum. And then there are all of a sudden people, we're going to stop drilling. And then they're saying, that's going to affect the jobs. And then it's going back and forth. So I personally know that whole thing with the BP was manufactured. But that, it's the same thing. In retrospect, it seems like so many different things that we haven't taken the opportunity to rely on ourselves. And it seems like we're getting smacked in our face again in the United States because of that. I mean, we're always looking for the government to save our butts. The handout. I mean, we it's good that, that there should be some net for something situation, but then there's a situation that people expect it's like, what are the Kennedy's famous thing? It's not what you ask for the country, it's what you can do for your country. And it's not now, I even say it to around the world, it's not what you can do for the world can do for you, it's what you can do for the world. And I think that's sort of like what you're saying with the Saturn thing, getting back to giving our limitations in something. And I don't really like to use the word limitation. It's basically...
That's a key word for Saturn, limitation. But it's also, sometimes we need limitation in our life. Just a quick analogy, if you go out drinking one night, you need some Saturn, you need some limitation so you can get home. Do you know what I mean? Limitation.
Yeah, you can say that. You can say... Yeah, you got to have some limitations because, look, if you go out and go eat, you're going to get so fat and fall over or get sick. You can overdrink or whatever. Too much kumbaya, you can do something, and too much non-kumbaya. So, you know, there's always, like what you said, is a balance. Everything, so they say the yin-yang, the chi, the balance of chi and Taoism. But which is sort of like what you're saying. Everything has to be sort of like in a balance. You know, we have to get
into.
And we're
going to be looking for that. And there will be change. There will be major things going on, but we're going to be doing them privately and personally. On the world stage, as far as globally, how people see us, we're not going to come across as very favorable. We're just going to be under a lot of worldwide scrutiny, and we're not going to come out looking good. But just because we don't look good, we still have the power to change from within. And one thing I just want to mention really quick, Andy, before we have to go, is Mercury, the planet that rules communication,
mm-hmm.
It shows up in the 12th house again in this chart, just like the summer solstice, which to me is secrets. And I think, as with the summer, there's a bunch of communications and things going on that we're not privy to that we'll have to look at in future reports to see when it'll come to the light, because I think there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes and being communicated that we do not have knowledge of yet. And eclipses are really good for bringing things into the light. So we'll have to keep a close eye on the next eclipse series.
So you think there's going to be an elevated amount of secret meetings and secret situations going on during this next period, and that won't come out to light until, you said, sort of like.
It might
that?
Come out in the winter. I can't predict exactly when and if it will come out, but I do think that it will. But I just want, what's important now is there's a lot of stuff going on that we are not privy to.
Well, they're always doing
it. Being released to the public. And,
so you're seeing an increase of that, because there's always been, but there's going to be an increase of that even more so. Basically.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be some heavy-duty stuff. I really do. I don't know if the government's always been aware, I feel like, of extraterrestrials, because
mm-hmm.
they've tried so hard to cover that up for so many years, but there might be more of that kind of thing going on, like super intelligence coming from other sources, and that we're not meant to have knowledge of. And again, it could relate this back to the Illuminati, which is pretty powerful in itself. But I do feel like that will be exposed. Again, look to the key time period, end of October and through November, when the North Node, which rules our destiny, hits Pluto, the planet of radical change, and in the process reignites some of the previous eclipse points.
So to recap really quickly, what would you say overall in the next 3 months, and if you were going to say just a couple sentences overall without getting into the specifics of all the astrologically, if you were to go, here's a synopsis, this is basically what's going to, based upon your analysis of the cosmos, this is what's going to happen in just a few words, what would you see?
It's time for us to become self-reliable. We're going to be achieving balance with what's going on. There's so much, you know, unrest with unemployment and stuff. We're going to be looking for balance with that, and we're going to have to, now we're going to be focusing on what we can do for ourselves.
Which around the world are going to look at all those damn selfish Americans.
Well, on the world stage, we're not going to play out well, but we can't be concerned with what others.
No, I know. I just know how it is when you're over there. But
please, I know too. And we're going to be making changes and breakthroughs, but it's not going to be as radical or out there as it will be next year. And there's a lot of internal unrest, and look for that to possibly explode or big things to happen the end of October into and through November.
And also, I want everybody out there to realize that what she does, that you're, Carrie, when you do what you're now doing from based on the U.S., not to be on like all the arrogant American, but the world is, a lot of stuff has been affected through the United States and stuff like that. And when things are being done here, and not to be sound, it's being selfish, but because maybe that's what Europeans have to do amongst themselves. So a lot of stuff that you're hearing right now is really, I personally believe that it's reflective in the Europeans. Like in the UK, they have to become more self-reliant themselves. Europe, and same thing within Europe and in the Middle East, the same thing. Learning to not rely on, like example, achieving peace. It's not because Americans and UN and all that be coming together to be having peace, whether it's between Jews and Muslims or Israelis and Palestinians or in Iraq and all that. It's not just outside source. It has to start from themselves, and that's the basis. And the same thing in Europe, you know, relying too much on the EU to take care of everything, and that's taken advantage of the Europeans. And the same thing in the UK. It's become reliant on the government to do stuff. Maybe you have to stand up and say, hey, no, we're going to do it ourselves. Screw you. Maybe they have to have that, I hate to say it, like the American, you know, freedom, independency spirit, maybe reflective around the world. And because it does, we're all basically the same, you know, and it shows how we're all interrelated and interacted. So what happens in the United States, because we're all part of all the same consciousness, is actually a reflection of everybody else as well. So, you know, and I want to thank Carrie for coming on my show. Thank you very much.
But well, thank you for having me.
But tell everybody how they can get in contact with you and where they can look up your site. I know I posted on there and, you know, get a reading and analysis and et cetera.
Well, my website is zodiacbuzz.com. You can email me at carrie@zodiacbuzz.com or leorising.com. And it's interesting, Andy, because I truly believe that we do get ridiculed all over the place, big, obnoxious Americans, but I have clients from all over the world, and they all want to come to America. This is where everybody wants to be. Everybody emulates us. So I would just ignore the criticism, and we've got to learn to be the best that we can be. Because like you said, we set an example for others to follow. I think we are a true leader.
Yep. I mean, I think it's, you know, the paramount of, you know, much of independence and freedom of speech and standing up. If that were placed around the world, and keeping a separation of church from state as well, and having free speech if we're supposed to be following, which we have been curtailed in the United States as well, we've allowed it, I think is a reflection. So not to say be arrogant of the American standards, this is human standards. That the Declaration of Independence wasn't just the Declaration for the Americans, it was a Declaration for all humanity. So with that, I want to thank Carrie for coming on my show. Thank you very, very much once again.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you, all the listeners, for listening in. And with that, God bless you all. And I'm going to close with A Little Taste of Mississippi by Angie Matson. Take care. God bless you all. And have a truly beautiful weekend. Thanks.
Drifter, baby, why you gotta run? Only muse in the setting sun. Go to the end of the other direction, and the miles will be your protection.